I'd ask you to turn your Bible with me here this evening, if you would please. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning of verse number 1. And we'll pick up now here tonight after a lengthy break from it, being in other directions and other things on Sunday evenings, coming back to a study we began a few months back, Godly Instruction, and a study of this subject in the book of Proverbs. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We'll begin Proverbs 1, verse number 1. The Word of God says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity." Notice there in the passage, we're focusing in on those verses, instruction. Verse 2, to know wisdom instruction, part of the reason for the book of Proverbs. And in verse number 3, we have a definition for biblical or godly instruction to us, to receive the instruction of wisdom, and they're defined for us as justice and judgment and equity. Here this evening, we'll proceed with the second message in this study and in this series and consider a few more truths in relation to it. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we proceed with the message tonight, you would allow us to have understanding and allow us to come to a place of submission to what you seek to teach us. That any area of our lives that need correcting, we would yield them up to you. Any area of our lives that need directing, that we would follow your direction therein. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A number of months back, when we first came to the first message on this, in introduction, I mentioned the fact that in the book of Proverbs, we encounter this word instruction a total of 25 times. 25 times the word instruction is used, the English word instruction is used in the book of Proverbs here. And the particular Hebrew word that is translated as instruction in these verses is also used 5 other times in the book of Proverbs, but in the English translated with a different word. So 25 times it is translated with the English word instruction. 4 times it is translated with the English word correction. And 1 time it is translated with the English word chastening. The word correction is found in chapter 7, verse 22, chapter 15, verse 10, chapter 22, verse 15, and chapter 23, verse 13. And the word chastening, to translate this Hebrew word, is found in chapter 3, verse number 11. If we focus our attention just on the English word instruction conveys the picture of building a structure of information, a structure of skill, or a structure of character within an individual. Instruction, the word struct, part of instruction has to do with a structure, and the in prefix to that has to do with a structure inside. So we're trying to get a body of information into somebody. Sometimes our instruction has to do with information. It's a body of information or a structure of cohesive information that somebody retains in their mental aspect, in their intellect. They know this information. Or maybe it's an instruction of skill. We're trying to get them to develop a particular skill pattern or skill ability to use it. And that would include probably some external practice and so forth as well. Sports would be that kind of instruction in that light. But in Scripture, it's not primarily the idea of instruction concerning information or even instruction concerning skill, although those certainly are involved. Does God's Word have a lot of information for us to learn? Information about who God is, information about the Trinity, so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, information about who we are and what we are like, information about a lot of things in the Word of God, but that's not the furthest or complete extent of God's intention of His Word. The instruction of His Word goes beyond just us knowing truth. It also has to do with us walking in the truth. That has to do with skill. But it even goes beyond that because it desires for us to be something that's right, So not just to know righteousness and know truth, not just to walk in truth and righteousness, but to be righteous. And that's the third one, to build a structure of character within an individual. That's the desire of biblical or godly instruction. Yes, that we'll know truth. Yes, that we'll develop a skill to walk in the truth and walk in righteousness, but ultimately that our character will be righteous. And so, as we look into the book of Proverbs and we consider the study of godly instruction as it reveals to us, we need to understand that this English word also related to the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word encompasses the whole process of discipline in our lives. Remember, the purpose in Scripture is not just information, not even just skill, but it is character. And so to discipline godly character, to discipline righteous character in us, and this word instruction in Proverbs, the Hebrew word, and that's why sometimes it's not translated instruction, but it's translated correction. Because part of the discipline process is not just to instruct us, but part of the discipline process is also to correct those areas of our lives that are wrong so that we can get them instructed in the way that is right. And so we find it in these contexts in the book of Proverbs. When we first studied this, and some of you might say, I vaguely remember the message, and others might say, I don't remember it all. Some of you may not remember it because you weren't here. I don't know. But we did touch on a few truths already in the book of Proverbs on it. First, we looked at the definition of godly instruction. And we noted that it includes four different disciplines. The discipline of training, Proverbs 1:3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity. That has to do with being trained by God's wisdom. It includes the discipline of admonition, of warnings. Proverbs 24, verse 32, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. If you go to the passage, what he was looking upon was the field of the lazy, or in Proverbs, it refers to him as the slothful man. All right. And he says, I looked upon his field and I considered it well. And he said, when I saw it and considered it well, when I looked upon it, I received instruction. What kind of instruction was he receiving from the lazy man's field? He was receiving admonition. You don't want to do the way that the lazy man does, because it's unprofitable. Then we also have the discipline of reproof. In Proverbs 6, verse 23, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So not only the training of instruction, the instruction of wisdom, that's training, but also the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And finally, it includes the discipline of chastening. This we learn from Proverbs 3, verse 11, which is actually the verse where we encounter the word chastening, and it's the same Hebrew word. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Now there, the word correction is a different Hebrew word, but the Hebrew word translated for chastening is exactly the same word. It could be, my son, despise not the instruction of the Lord. But because the second half says, neither be weary of his correction, the translators clearly understood the context here was not just instruction, but was the corrective part of it. And so they translated it as chastening. And so it includes all of that. Biblically, godly instruction includes the discipline of training, the discipline of admonition, the discipline of reproof, and the discipline of actual physical chastening. The substance of godly instruction is that it comes through the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. From that we understand, you cannot walk in this instruction. You cannot receive. You cannot take in. You cannot develop the character that this instruction is intended to develop. Godly instruction is intended to develop if you don't walk in the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. They're equivalent to each other. It's not that the fear of the Lord builds the instruction of wisdom, or that the fear of the Lord teaches the instruction of wisdom. It says literally the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. You don't walk in the fear of the Lord, you don't experience the instruction of wisdom. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you do experience the instruction of wisdom. And then finally, last time we considered the character of godly instruction. And that we find in Proverbs 1 verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom. And what character does it have? It's defined there as justice and judgment and equity. It teaches justice, that is how to act with righteous behavior. How to act with righteous behavior. It also teaches judgment, how to make righteous decisions. Justice has to do with being righteous in our behavior. Judgment has to do with making decisions, and in this case, righteous decisions. And then finally, it will teach equity. That's how to be righteous in character. Equity has to do with our character. Justice has to do with our behavior. Equity has to do with our character. Judgment has to do with our decisions. And in all of these cases, it's righteous behavior, righteous decisions, righteous character. Now here tonight, I'd like to present two further truths. I believe that's two further main truths. There's going to be subpoints underneath them, certainly, but that I believe will be of value to us here tonight, and I believe will take up the remainder of our time. First, tonight, which is the fourth main truth on our list, we've considered the definition of godly instruction, the substance of godly instruction, the character of godly instruction. Here tonight, the need for godly instruction. Who needs instruction? In particular, who needs this godly instruction? Who needs it? Some of us, how many of you ever went to, you know, when you went to school, or those maybe still in school, and you had to take a particular class, and as you were in the class, and when you finally came out the other end of the class, you looked at it and said, who even needed that? Why did we even take that class? What was the use for any of that in that class? I don't see any value to any of that. Were there any classes you have taken? Jacob, what class was it? A lot of them. Actually, being a teacher in high school for a couple of years, a handful of years, sometimes I would get that from the students. Why do we even have to learn this? Right? Why do we even need to have to learn this? And there are answers to those questions. In high school, a lot of the different classes that you're getting are really introductory, very introductory to a subject. Because, and they have all the students experience the introduction to all these different subjects because they don't know, and by the way, you probably still don't even know ultimately what the direction of your life's going to be. So you don't know which subject really is going to matter and which one doesn't. You get into a class, you think, oh, seriously? Then as you're deeper in the class, for whatever reason, it suddenly turns the light bulb on for you and you go, wow, I kind of like this. Now, Jacob went through a lot of classes. He went in saying, I don't know what the use for this is. And he came out the other side and said, I still don't know what the use for this is. Obviously, they were not the classes that turned on his light bulb and said, ooh, that was actually kind of cool. Sometimes it's not even the whole class. Sometimes it could just be a little part of the class. You know, like biology, where you learn about, you know, animals and their physical makeup, when you learn about humans and physical makeup, and you learn about amoebas and their physical makeup, and you learn about the cell, and you might say, I really don't care about this part and that part and the other part, but the thing about the cell, that was actually interesting. Maybe I'll go further with that. I don't know. So there's different parts sometimes they introduce you to. You don't realize sometimes the classes you take, ultimately, you won't care about that information for the rest of your life, but it was valuable, if for another reason, just to develop good discipline of study and, you know, fulfilling your responsibilities of homework and tests and all of that stuff. And we say, well, I didn't want to learn that. Well, that may be true. None of us really like to learn all of that, but life is going to have a lot of responsibilities of discipline you're not going to like, but you're still going to have to do. You know, because I'm sure that Miss Angela over here doesn't like doing dishes. But I'm sure the rest of her family prefers that she does. The other day, we were out shopping and my wife went down the aisle and they didn't have the laundry soap that she wanted. And then she bypassed a bunch of others because they were too expensive. And I said, are we not buying laundry soap this week? And she said, I don't know yet. And I said, so what are we going to just try the, we just keep wearing the same clothes over and over again and don't get them washed. We'll just go with dirty clothes for the next couple of weeks. We're going to try that option. And she did not say yes. And thankfully, when we went to the next store, she did buy some laundry soap. So, whoo, we're good to go. Because Wesley, after a few days, wow, you know his clothes need to be laundered. All right. But the fact is, she didn't like doing laundry. Right? No. Yeah, I didn't think so. Any of the rest of the ladies in the room, you like doing that stuff? No. On your job, Roger, there are things you don't like doing? Laundry. Yeah. Wow, I didn't even know he had to do that on his job. But you know, the truth is, in life, there's going to be a lot of things. So sometimes in school, it's just about learning discipline, fulfilling responsibilities. Sometimes. But we get the sense sometimes when we're in the midst of the class of instruction, who even needs this? What do we need this for? Well, we can get that way in the spiritual realm too. Truths are taught from the Word of God. Sometimes, have you ever read portions of the Word of God and thought, really, I don't know what I need this for? I mean, I know the Bible says that all parts are for our learning, but as I read through this, I really just don't think I'm getting anything out of it. And not only am I not getting anything out of it, but I can't figure out how anything that I just read is even useful to me. You know, sometimes that happens. And yet God is trying through His Word and through His work in our lives to instruct us. And it is of value to us. But in particular, the book of Proverbs gives us three categories of individuals that need godly instruction. Now remember, godly instruction is not just informational. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we wonder about the information we're reading. What's this information useful for me for? But godly instruction goes beyond the information. Godly instruction goes all the way to the character of our hearts. And who needs that kind of godly instruction? Well, many of us might just say, well, all of us do. We all need the instruction of godliness. We all need to be developed in the character of godliness. But in the book of Proverbs, we find three specific groups that this word instruction, the Hebrew word for instruction, sometimes also translated correction, is applied to these three groups. First of all, the need of our children. The need of our children. And if you're still in the category of children here tonight, that is, you're still in the category of those that the Bible defines as being under the authority of parents, then He's talking to you. But He's also talking, as we see in these verses we're going to look at, to the parents who need to be involved in the process of instructing their children. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 15, we find this given to us. Proverbs 22, verse 15, it's not the word instruction, it's the word correction in this verse, but it is the same Hebrew word. And it is talking about the need for parents to be administering this correction, yea, this instruction, into the lives of their children. Proverbs 22, verse 15, makes this statement, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction, that's our Hebrew word, 25 times translated instruction, 4 times correction. Here's one of those 4 times. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Every one of us, when we were born into the world, we're born with our hearts already filled with something. But what our hearts were already filled with was not wisdom. Was not godliness. What our hearts were pre-filled with was foolishness. In the book of Proverbs, foolishness is also defined as unrighteousness. Not godliness, but ungodliness. Not righteousness, but unrighteousness. That's what our hearts were filled with. In fact, the scriptures go even further than that. I didn't bring anything of this sort with me. But notice how it says foolishness is not just filling the heart of the child, but it says foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. The idea here is that it is literally tied. Their hearts are tied up with foolishness. Another way to put this might be that foolishness doesn't just fill the heart, but it's rooted deeply in the heart. How many of you have ever had to weed a garden? You were responsible and required to weed a garden. Me too. That's why I don't garden now. I like some of the things you get out of the garden, but I hated weeding when I was growing up and determined after I got out of the home, I was not doing that anymore. So when I got married and my wife said, "Do you want to have a garden?" I said, "If you want to weed, sure. But I don't want to weed. I hate weeding." How many of you weeding the garden waited too long? Sometimes. And it's one thing to pull the weeds out when they first start. Even that part I don't like. I didn't enjoy it, which is part of the reason we'd put it off. Myself, my two brothers, we'd put it off. "You need to go weed the garden." "Yeah, yeah, yeah." "You need to go weed the garden." "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then we put it off. And then finally it was like, "You need to weed the garden and you're doing it this afternoon. You're not putting it off any longer." And that's usually after the weeds were about as tall as us, which isn't really that tall because Markles aren't that tall, but still tall enough that their roots went to China. Have you ever had to weed the garden where you literally had to get the shovel out to get the whole group of weeds out? You couldn't just, you know, wiggle, 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 and then it kind of came out of the loose dirt. But, you know, you were doing that, and then it broke off the top, and you're like, "Mom's going to come out here and check our job. Dad's going to check our job. And if there's any roots in there, we're in trouble. So you go get the shovel. You're going to have to dig it up." But then you don't have, you know, you get the shovel in, but you got to be careful because you can't then pop the roots from the actual tomato plant or whatnot. Hey, I've done this. That's why I don't do it anymore. All right? What Scripture's talking about here is like foolishness is like that weed that sent its roots to China into your child's heart. It's all wrapped up in there. You ever try to take a tree out of the ground? It's one thing to take it off the top and grind it down. It's another thing if you try to take the root system out, right? And you found that that root system was a whole lot larger than I ever imagined. And a whole lot deeper. It's a whole lot of work. That's what foolishness is in the heart of every child that's born into the world. And the Word of God says they need correction to get that foolishness out. They need this godly instruction. Now, who's responsible for that? Well, number one, God is. I mean, God's working in all of our lives to do that, but God hands a very specific aspect of that responsibility to parents. And that's who he's speaking to in this verse. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Let's look at another verse right here in Proverbs 22. It does not use our Hebrew word. You won't find the word instruction or correction in the verse, but it relates to our subject. So back a few verses to verse number 6. Chapter 22, verse 6. It uses the phrase train up. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In chapter 22, verse 15, we get a focus on the corrective side of instruction. In verse 6, we get a focus on the instructive or training side of this instruction, the discipline of training as well as the discipline of chastening or of correction. And both of those are needed by our children. We have a New Testament verse that relates to this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture," that's the training side, "and admonition," that's the correction side of the Lord. Both the training and the correction are needed by our children. What's a second group that needs this godly instruction as presented in the book of Proverbs? The need of young adults. Young adults. Now, there are some here in the room tonight that are in the young adult stage and others that will be there soon if they live long enough. Steve is in the young adult stage. His hand just went up. He said, I am. Tammy, do you verify that? That he's in the young? Okay, so he does act like a kid sometimes. So he's putting himself in the young adult stage. That's not what his body says, but that's what his behavior says. Yes, okay. Wesley would be in the young adult stage, 20 to 30, maybe even 35, 40. How many of you want me to keep going higher on that to feel like you're fine? You're in the young adult stage. No, you're okay. 40, you passed 40 yet? You are 40. So you want me to go like 41? Okay, Jason wants me to include him in the young adult stage. We've got a few that are going to be there soon. Jacob, you are almost 17. So, you know, if technically, and I know in our country, we kind of view them sometimes at 18. I mean, they can go to the military at 18. So just depending on that transition where they're at. But, you know, some by the age of 18 are in that basically out as adults on their own, young adult stage. So we've got a few that are going to be there soon. Dylan should be in that stage pretty soon. Joelle, you'd be in that stage right now, right? You are 20 what? 26, all right? So she's still in that. I didn't even have to stretch anything for her, so she's right there. So we have those that are in the young adult stage. And actually, we have a number of verses on this because we recognize in the book of Proverbs the primary audience for the book of Proverbs. A father was trying to communicate wisdom to his young adult son. That's the primary theme of the book of Proverbs. The author is a father, and the primary audience is his son. And he's seeking to give this wisdom to his son who's just entering or is shortly in that stage of young adult. He probably isn't at the furthest end of young adult, Jason. He's probably not quite there. He's probably more in the 20s stage, maybe just entering the 30s stage. But what does the Word of God tell us here? In Proverbs 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, this is not, in the book of Proverbs, the my son statements are not to five-year-olds. I mean, I can call my five-year-old my son, but it's not who it's to. It's not to 10-year-olds. It's not to 15-year-olds. It's more likely to 25 and 30-year-olds, young adults. Notice as well in Proverbs 8, verses 32 through 34. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction. Just as he said in chapter 1, verse 8, hear the instruction of thy father. Now actually God's own wisdom itself is speaking and says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Notice how they were called ye children two verses earlier. Now it's the man because it's young adults. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. In chapter 19 and verse number 20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And again, in Proverbs 19 and verse number 20, where we just read, this is the father speaking to his young adult son, saying, hear counsel and receive instruction. In chapter 1, verse 8, it was hear the instruction of your father. In chapter 8, verse 32 through 34, it's basically God's own wisdom saying, hear my instruction. So in a sense, the first one is the Father saying, listen to my instruction. The second one is God saying, listen to my instruction. And the third one, he doesn't say, listen to my instruction. He just says, listen to instruction. There are various sources from which godly instruction may come. It may come from the parents. And even young adults should listen to godly instruction when they come from their parents. Now, once a child is engaged or shifted into the stage of young adulthood, they're not quite under the authority of parents at the same level they were while they were still in childhood. But that doesn't mean the moment they step out the door, the book of Proverbs is saying the moment you step out the door, you're no longer under the direct authority of your parents. You're out of childhood into adulthood. So turn your back on your parents and go figure it out on your own. Now the book of Proverbs says, whoa, even though you've entered adulthood, pay attention because your parents still have good godly instruction to give you, especially if they are godly themselves to some extent or know the truths of God's word. But there's a second person who can bring godly instruction into your life. And sad to say, the habits of young adults are what? This is true for all of us, wasn't it? If you can remember back, Tim, if you can remember way back to when you were a young adult, you know, we get this sense, I'm out from underneath mom and dad. It's my life to live my way now. I mean, if I don't want to put the scissors away in that drawer anymore, if I want to run with scissors, I can now. I'm an adult. Well, go ahead. But if you trip and fall, which was the whole thing they didn't want you to do, and you poke your eye out, it don't matter if you're 25 or 15, your eye's gone. I mean, if you want to be that way, go right ahead. But the point he's saying is don't get out of the home. Hey, I'm an adult. I can live my own life, set my own standards and so forth, and completely forget about everything my parents taught me. That's a complete mistake. No. He says, don't forsake it. Don't forget it. Keep living in the good instruction your parents have given you. But there's someone else that young adults often, when they get into life and they start thinking, it's my life to live my way now, you know who else they ignore? Yeah, because when you're thinking about living your life your way, you don't want any authority. And you definitely don't want God's authority. So not only do they turn their back on the good instruction and godly instruction from parents, but they turn their back on any godly instruction God could be doing in their lives. That's one of the reasons. It's not the whole picture and the whole ball of reasons why, but it's one of the reasons why our young people hit young adulthood and then leave church. I think there's other factors. Some of those factors may even be bad experiences that they have had from those that were supposed to be in godly positions in their lives. But some of it is just the natural tendency to say, now that I'm not under parental authority, now that I'm not in jail anymore. By the way, we do sometimes feel that way when we were children. We felt that way about school and about parents. Parents have all these rules and regulations. I'm in jail. School has all this responsibility and I'm in jail. And then they graduate from school and say, what's the thought? You know, the whole idea that goes through your mind. Now I'm out of jail. Freedom! And then my wife says, and then they join the military. Because there's freedom there. But it depends on what college you go to. Some colleges you can attend and never go to class. So you still have freedom. Okay? Some colleges, that may not work quite the same way. So it really depends. But, you know, freedom! And then they find out that freedom costs money. And then you got to get a job. And suddenly you're not free anymore. Because life's not really like that. But in that mentality of freedom, there's this drive to get away from the things that restrict. And does God have rules and regulations on our life that restrict us from some things we may want to do? Yeah, because in our flesh, there's a lot of things we may want to do, but they're wrong, and God says, thou shalt not. So, freedom from parents, freedom from God, and freedom from any other authority that might tell me the right way to live. Which is also the reason why I don't want to be in church and listen to the pastor preach anymore. Don't want any of that Bible teaching. Don't need any of that. Why? Because I want my freedom. And God says, oh, no, no, no. As a young adult, you need instruction. You need it. But you know, there's a third group that needs instruction. You might say, oh, here we go. Here we go. Okay, he's nailed the children. He's nailed the young adults. So now it's time to nail all the old people. The old people, right? And that's anybody older than Jason. There we go. Anyone older than Jason, those are the old people. All right? But actually, Proverbs doesn't present it that way. He presents it this way. The need of the wise. The wise. In chapter 9, verse number 9. Now, he doesn't say the need of the old, but the assumption in the book of Proverbs is if you grow through the experiences of life and you grow with the instruction God's already given you, you will reach a level where in your older years, you've come to some wisdom. But you know sometimes what happens? We develop a certain body of wisdom and think, I'm wise now. Now, I don't need to be instructed. I can instruct others, but I don't need to be instructed. Oh, but is there ever a time in our lives, no matter how much we have developed wisdom, where we don't still need more instruction? Even Miss Jan says, I still need more instruction. Amen? Now, we may be in a position to instruct others. In Titus, we're told about the older men teaching the younger, the older women teaching the younger, but even the older men and older women still need instruction into their lives. Amen? Even pastors and ministers of the truth of God's Word need instruction into their lives. We always need more. And so in Proverbs 9 and verse number 9, we have this statement, give instruction to a wise man. And if he truly is a wise man, how will he respond? And he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Notice how there the wise man and the just man are put in parallel. Because a truly wise man is a man who's truly just, or that is righteous in his walk. But he does indicate that a wise man still needs instruction. And when you instruct a wise man, he'll accept it and continue to grow in his wisdom. Well, brethren, according to the book of Proverbs, those are the three categories who need instruction. Our children need it. Not only do they need to come to realize they need it, but parents need to be working at doing it, because children aren't naturally going to say, please instruct and correct me. Parents needed to be instructed in God's Word to give instruction to their children because they need it. And if we go back to that point, how long do they need it? How long should parents continue to instruct their children? As children, how long should they do it? Until they're 14? Until they're 16? Well, as long as they're children under the authority of our home. And actually, even after they move into young adulthood and my authority is less, I can't discipline the same way. I can't even necessarily command the same way. Now, in my case, it's a little bit different, but I've got both cases in some sense, all right? So both my children now are young adults. Amen? Patrick is what, 26? 26. Wesley's 21. Clearly, by definition, even biblical definition, they're both young adults. There's a slight difference. The slight difference is, though Wesley's a young adult, he's still living under my authority, because he's still living in our home. So my authority is not the same as when he was 5 or 10 or 15. But I still have a level of authority over Wesley I don't have over Patrick. And because of that, there's a certain level of discipline I might be able to say, hey, you're not going to do that in my home. If you do it in my home, then this, or this is going to happen. I could say to Patrick could do the same thing. You're not going to do that. I don't favor that. And if you live in my home, you're not doing it in my home. But Patrick could do it in his own home, and I'd be very unhappy with it, frown at it, but couldn't really do any kind of discipline about it, because he's not in any way under my direct authority. Doesn't mean I still might not say anything to him. Understand the difference? But as they move into young adulthood, I don't have the same level of authority to discipline. But I do still need at times to give instruction, counsel that is of value to them. Now, I need to realize that if they're not listening, if they're not interested, then it's time to back off. And they've got to come to a place where they are seeking for it. Because did you notice in the book of Proverbs, the instruction concerning children's need for instruction is to parents, actually. The instruction is not to the children, you need instruction. It's to the parents, you need to instruct them because they need instruction. But when they come to young adulthood, the instruction was directly to them. Still listen to your parents. Still listen to God. still listen to godly influences in your life because you still need instruction. They have to be willing to receive it. And then for those who are older and prayerfully wiser. Although, Steve, you were already thrown under the bus under that because your wife said that being under the bus, especially if it's raining, right? Yeah. He still acts like a child. His body doesn't say it, but his behavior sometimes. But the point is, by now in our lives, we should have developed some wisdom. Amen? But in that wisdom, we still need more, and we should still be very open to receive it. Amen. So I believe that covers that point fairly well. We'll look at some future points on this subject in the future. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to realize whatever category we're in, that we will be faithful to receive the instruction You intend. If we be in the category of the wiser, that being wiser will be constantly open to more instruction and more growth. If we're in the category of young adults, that we will not develop that so common mentality, now that I have freedom, I'll just live my life my way and turn my back on parents, turn my back on God, turn my back on God-given authority and counselors. And Lord, if we're in the category of children, Lord, I pray that You'd help the children to recognize and receive the instruction that You seek to be brought into their life, especially from their parents. And we pray that You'd help the parents to continue to recognize the responsibility they have to administer that instruction, even when the children are rebelling against it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.